Even in his 90s, Jimmy Carter continues to surprise. At a press conference last week, the former U.S. president announced that the cancer that had been removed from his liver had reappeared in his brain. That is always the ultimate nightmare of any cancer patient, that it's never truly gone, always waiting around the corner. But Carter was at peace.
I just thought I had a few weeks left. But I was surprisingly at ease. You know, I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends, and I've had an exciting and adventurous and gratifying existence.
This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. Jimmy Carter left the presidency before much of Indians today were born. But there is a small village near Delhi called Carterpuri in memory of his visit there in 1978. If Indians know Carter now, it's of the post-presidency Carter. Ex-presidents either disappear into the sunset to write memoirs, or they lend their name to laudable goals that are also largely uncontroversial. Carter rebuked his own democratic successors like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama over issues such as drone strikes, Guantanamo Bay, and pardoning an indicted commodities trader. He took on the powerful Israel lobby, calling its policies in the Palestinian territories apartheid. And the devoutly religious Carter, who served as a deacon, severed his own ties with the Southern Baptist Convention because he found their doctrine increasingly rigid. None of these decisions could have been easy, and all of them exposed him to criticism. His decision to hold a press conference to bear his health issues is just as gutsy and principled.
They did an MRI and found that there were 4 spots of melanoma on my brain.
Personal health is 100% a private matter. No one has any reason to out someone's health problems unless that patient is willing to disclose it. But one cannot but be admiring of a public figure who chooses to do that. It requires both a courage and a humility that politicians do not have, because an admission of illness is also an admission of vulnerability. Carter could have quietly stepped down from his foundation and dialed back his active schedule without disclosing the real reason. No one would have questioned a 90-year-old's decision to step back. Most of us are reluctant to discuss our private health issues because we do not want the attention, the pity, the barrage of endless advice, and depending on the malady, the judgment. But for a public figure, there's also the fear that they will be regarded as damaged and weak and lose some of their clout, become more easily replaceable. In 1947, when India was being partitioned, the father of Pakistan, Jinnah, never revealed his tuberculosis problems to the public, afraid it would hurt his political standing, blaming his health problems on overstrain. By 1948, he was dead from lung cancer, and that spawned speculation that continues to this day about whether the subcontinent's history might have been different if the leaders had known that Jinnah was dying even as he was pushing for partition. That probably exacerbated his resolve to keep his health problems a secret. Barack Obama's physical test results are announced in a press release, but most leaders are far more tight-lipped about their health. Rumors swirl about India's Congress president Sonia Gandhi's health, especially after she fainted in parliament and was gone abroad for long periods. But no one ever confirms anything. We see an obviously frail and silent Atal Bihari Vajpayee, a former Indian prime minister, get India's highest civilian award, and we are shocked because we are so unprepared for his condition. Politicians vanish from the public eye. There are rumors about cancer treatment abroad or bariatric surgery at home. Some rumors are dismissed, some are deflected to other less serious sounding ailments, none of it dispelling the feeling of an unsavory conspiracy. In the end, the illness itself becomes the unmentionable elephant in the room. None of these leaders should feel the need to make their personal medical history a matter of public record, but it is also true that the secrecy around it adds to the burden of the illness. Cancer is terribly commonplace. We fear it enough not to want to go for checkups in case we find out something we would rather not know. The secrecy around it becomes the great taboo. What Jimmy Carter did was break the taboo and face the disease squarely. He did not do it with false optimism, but with great grace, tying his prognosis with the debilitating parasitic guinea worm the Carter Center has been trying to eradicate.
Before I die, I'd like for the last guinea worm to die before I do.
He normalized the illness into simply a human condition. It sounds obvious, but it was truly a rare and remarkable thing to do.
I'll be prepared for anything that comes.
This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.